Hello, and welcome to episode 35 of the Netting Pretty podcast. It is February 26th, 2015. My name is Em. You can find me all over the internet as Knitfast Die Cozy. You can find show notes for the podcast on my website, which is emmanitz.net, and there is a Facebook group, which is facebook.com/emmanitz. You can also find the Ravelry group if you just search Netting Pretty podcast in the groups tab, and that will take you to us. And you should join, because it's fun. So, hi, welcome. Thank you for listening. Thank you to those of you who are returning listeners and have put up with me for some time. And also to those of you who are trying me out. I hope that you enjoy. A couple little announcements. As I mentioned last week, my patterns are going to be going up in price as of March 1st. And so if you're interested in getting any of them, just know that they're cheaper now than they will be in a couple days, and, you know, do what you will with that information. The other thing is my hosting costs for the podcast, and for my website, but primarily the cost goes towards the podcast, is coming up due on the first week of March, and if you are interested in contributing to that, just, you know, for the fun of it, I don't do donations for the podcast or anything. I'm just asking that if you want to contribute, buy a pattern or send a pattern to a friend or do a random act of kindness and send it to somebody, you know, in one of your Ravelry groups. And yeah, but no obligation. You absolutely don't have to. And I'm not expecting anybody to, although I have noticed that some of you have, and I'm really grateful for that. Thank you for helping me offset the cost of the podcast. We have one other really exciting announcement, and that is that there's going to be a new giveaway. So I was contacted by a listener who is going to be opening a yarn store in Orange, California. The yarn store is going to be called Fiberlicious, and they are doing a Kickstarter to get together the rest of the funds to open their yarn store. And they've got a big goal, and so I would love to see us support them. And, you know, bringing a yarn store, and it's going to be a yarn and spinning and all the fiber stuff store, bringing a yarn store to a community is awesome, and I wish them the best of luck with that. So what they are asking is that you will go and check out their Kickstarter, which I think is a great one. They've got graphics, they're doing printed t-shirts and stuff as their rewards, and so if you're interested in a knitting-themed t-shirt, they have some really great ones, and it works out to be a great price for one, too. I mean, it's no more or less than it would be if you were buying one from somewhere else, and also you'll be supporting someone in our fiber community. So I'm going to put their Kickstarter's address in the show notes and in the giveaway thread on Ravelry, and I want you to go over there and check it out and see what the graphics are and come back and tell me which one you would like the best. And that will enter you. So, and we're going to do this in the Ravelry thread. Sorry, I'm a little scattered. I'm kind of tired. The giveaway rules. In the Ravelry thread, must be a member of the group to enter. Please only enter once. Don't chatter in the thread. You'll see it sticky to the top of the group. Come to the giveaway thread after going to the Kickstarter and tell us which of the graphics you like the best, or which of the rewards you like the best, because there's some other cool rewards too, and like they've got really good all levels of rewards, from greeting cards with the graphics printed on them to lessons, which I just think it's very, very broad, and that's great. So go tell me which one of the rewards is your favorite, and then you will be entered to win from the upcoming Fiberlicious Yarn Shop, a project bag and yarn. How exciting is that? So the giveaway is going to run from now, when I post the podcast, until March 26th. Their Kickstarter ends on the 22nd, so the 26th is just Thursday after that. And I'm really hoping they get fully funded. That would be really exciting, because it looks like they're going to do a great job with their yarn shop. So please, go check it out, come back, enter to win. Giveaway! Yay! I will be mentioning this again, so don't forget, but if you do, just keep listening. I'll keep prodding you about it. And if you do happen to have some money burning a hole in your pocket and you're interested in a knitting-themed t-shirt, go check out their Kickstarter. Pretty cool. My particular favorite has cross knitting needles on it, and it says knitter's gonna knit, and that just makes me happy. And yeah, I kind of want that one a lot. So anyway, go check it out, okay? On to your regularly scheduled programming. In my past, I have finished a thing. I finished my Professor Higgins socks, which is a pattern by Kaua Coffee. You'll find it free on Ravelry. It's a really great pattern. It's very heavily cabled sock pattern with an asymmetrical kind of... Well, it's not asymmetrical. It's, I think it's diagonally symmetrical, actually. Cable pattern. But it's a little unusual, and it kind of swings back and forth. And it's really pretty, but it is a very intensively cabled sock. And I made them out of Sweet Georgia Yarns Tough Love Sock in a one-of-a-kind colorway that was sort of a combination of kind of dusty turquoise and olive greens and browns. It looked a lot to me like the way the ocean looks around here on a really sunny day, and just really sung to me. I had to have it as soon as I saw it. And unfortunately, it is just a one-off colorway, so it won't be available beyond that, but it is a very cool colorway. I really liked the pattern. It was fun. There were some ways that it was written that I found a little bit confusing, but I couldn't tell if it was me or if it was the pattern. And, you know, sometimes, like, it's... No matter how hard you try and no matter how carefully you follow the pattern, sometimes your brain just does not get it. And maybe that was happening with me, but eventually I figured it out and, you know, I got my socks at the end. I did have one miscrossed cable, so there's one error in my entire pair of socks, but it's glaringly obvious to me. Oh well, I'm just trying to let it go. I'm lazy. It doesn't need to happen. It's fine. Anyway, great knit. Lots of fun. I put some pictures in my Ravelry project page and on Instagram, so if you're interested in seeing them, and I'll stick one in the show notes too, why not? So they'll be all over the place, but you should see them because they're really pretty. The color's gorgeous, the pattern's beautiful. In my present, I cast on a new thing. I am working on the Cheshire Socks by Susan Moskova, I think? Moskova, maybe? Anyway, they're a pair of cabled and textured, that's got a sort of slip stitch textured socks, and I am so far really enjoying them. I cast them on this weekend while we were visiting my husband's family and got all the way through the leg of the first sock, so that was exciting. It's an interesting pattern. It's a little bit different in construction than a lot of sock patterns. It has, rather than a heel flap, it's got a gusset worked in. It's top down, but you do the gusset and then turn the heel and, I don't know, go from there. I'm right now increasing for the gusset, so I'm not really sure how the whole thing works, but I'm trusting the pattern. I believe in it. It's also got a princess sole, which is when the sock is knit with the purl bumps on the outside, so the inside sole of the sock is a lot smoother. And so if you have sensitive feet, or if somebody you know does, and you want to knit socks for those delicate feet, try the princess sole. Basically, you're just knitting your sock inside out, and it makes it smoother inside, and it can be more comfortable. I have rather tough feet that don't care much about anything, and I could wear either way, but I, you know, not everybody is lucky like that. So try it out. It's kind of neat, and it looks cool. I'm using handspun. The yarn is 100% BFL wool, which was dyed by Sweatermaker Yarns, which is a company on the island, on Vancouver Island. And I spun it up a long time ago. My husband got it for me for Christmas, the fiber, probably 2 years ago, maybe three, a really long time ago. And I spun it up probably a year ago and never really did anything with it because I wanted to make these socks, actually, this Cheshire pattern. I cued it right away. As soon as I'd finished that yarn, I cued this pattern with it. And just never got to it. Partly because I had been on a kick of knitting just plain vanilla socks for so long. And, you know, these do have a pattern to them. They require a little bit more brain power. So I ignored it. But it is working up just beautifully. I'm so happy with how it's working up. I am mad at myself for not knitting them sooner, because gorgeous. I'll put a picture up somewhere. There's a picture on my Ravelry page. I'll stick one on Instagram at some point soon, too, so you can see the color. They're a gorgeous sort of bright burgundy fuchsia color. Makes me really happy. I'm also still working on some spinning on the BFL silk from Wool Gatherings. I have been mentioning this for the past month and a half, and will continue to mention it until it's done. I am now 3/4 of the way through spinning the singles. I'm spinning 4 braids, and I believe they're 4 ounces each rather than 100 grams. So 16 ounces, a pound of fiber, and I'm spinning it to a light lace weight, which when I ply it, it'll come out to a heavy lace weight or fingering weight, depending on, you know, where it's at in the yarn. So it has been a huge project, but 3/4 of the way done. I hope to get it done by the end of the month, maybe. Realistically, that's just a silly goal, because the end of the month is Saturday, and it's Thursday. So no, I don't hope to get done by the end of the month, because that is a crazy goal. But soon, very soon. And yeah, I love spinning it. It's beautiful. For some reason, the bobbin right now, I think it's just the length of the color repeats in the fiber and the width that I'm putting it on my bobbin right now. It's all the dark purple on the outside, and this fiber is like dark purple and fuchsia pink and bright crimson red and sort of a soft peachy oatmeal-y color, and yet the entire bobbin looks dark fuchsia. I don't know. Anyway, it's gorgeous. I can't wait to be finished with it, because despite how gorgeous it is and despite how beautiful of a spin it is, I'm really done with it. I would like to be spinning some sort of easy palette cleansing, high speed, bulky weight yarn right now. And alas, I have to keep on inchworming along on my lace weight. Oh well. In my future is, very soon in my future, is a barley hat by Tin Can Knits. I have a baby shower to go to this weekend, and it's not that I forgot about it, because I didn't. Facebook doesn't let you forget about things. But for some reason, I kept looking at it saying, well, that's in March, it's not March. I don't have to worry about it, because that's in March. And then yesterday, my brain realized that March comes after February, and it's the end of February, and maybe I should get on with the baby shower knitting? Ugh. So anyway, I have some hand spun in, it's a soft lavender purple and soft sagey green color, and the yarn, or the fiber, is by Ixchel or something like that. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. I got it on a de-stash from a friend, and I'll link the dyer in the show notes if they're still in business. It's gorgeous fiber. It is Twinkle Bunny is the fiber blend that she does, and it's Angora and Tencel and Merino. And it's so soft. It's so soft, and it's shiny and just unbelievably gorgeous. And I had made an arbutus cowl out of part of the skein, and then I just kept, like, just held on to the last bit of the skein because it's so soft that I felt like I just didn't know what to use it for. It was too nice, basically. And I ended up not wearing the arbutus kill all that much because I'm too hot-natured for Angora, alas. So I ended up giving that away. But yeah, it's such a special yarn, and it's so soft, and it's so gorgeous, and it reminds me of my knitting group friends, because I got it at our retreat, our first retreat that we did together. And so, yeah, I want to knit it for a knitting friend's baby. So I'm going to make a barley, that's by Tin Can Knits, I don't know if I said that. Oh, the arbutus cowl, by the way, is by Jane Richmond. I'll link that as well in the show notes. But barley's a free pattern, and I've seen loads of pictures on Instagram of people knitting them up out of handspun. And it takes handspun really well. It allows the sort, and this is kind of a rustic yarn. Well, not rustic like scratchy, but rustic like lumpy bumpy. Like I had a bit of a hard time spinning it, basically. Which is fine. Tencel blends for me are very tricky to spin. I can spin silk blends just fine, but Tencel is really slippery. And combining that with the Angora and the Merino, it was an advanced fiber to spin, I think, for me. Which is not to say that if you fall in love with a blend like that and you're a new spinner, not to try it. Absolutely try it. Sorry, losing my voice. But just for the way I spin, that fiber was not as friendly with me. But yeah, the barley pattern really shows off hand spun, and it kind of celebrates its inconsistencies rather than making them look like mistakes, which I think is great. And so it's just a simple little hat with a garter stitch panel, and they do sizes from baby all the way to adult large. So I'm gonna work somewhere in there, the baby to toddler kind of range for that. And I'll put up pictures and you can see it when it's done. I think it's going to be really cute. And for a baby girl to have the sort of lavenders and green rather than the usual pink that baby girls tend to get dipped in, I think it'll be pretty. Which is not to say that, you know, there's anything wrong with liking pink for your baby. It's fine. It's just, I know when we had Ray, we ended up buying and making only clothes in sort of gender neutral colors because so many people, particularly parents-in-law, gave us pink, hot pink generally. Do you know how ridiculous Pepto-Bismol pink looks on a redhead? It's not a great color for redheads. Anyway, so I like knitting not pink for little girls because they often already have so much of it that maybe their parents are tired of it. I don't know. The other thing that I have in my future is some needle felting. A very, very kind listener sent me a book on needle felting called Sweet Needle Felts. It's by Jean Doherty. And I'm so grateful for that because it has a lot of techniques in it as well as projects. And the projects are super cute, particularly the cover project is these little, like, bunnies and kitties and a raccoon or something. Some other little animal. A bear. It's a bear. You could make a raccoon, though. Oh, a raccoon. That would be so cute. Ooh, I want to make a needle-felted raccoon now. Anyway, sorry. Raccoon-related tangent. It happens. It's got some really, really cute projects in it, and some slightly less cute projects in it. But I think every book's like that, right? Like, it's got its real winners, and then there's some that you're like, I don't think I'll make that, thanks. But my favorite thing is it has so much on technique, and even some of the projects that I wouldn't do because, or wouldn't think of doing, have a lot of techniques written into them that are really great to learn. And so I'm really looking forward to sitting down with that book and really going through it and picking out some techniques and some inspiration and maybe making one of the projects out of it. And I'll tell you how it goes. I think it's going to be fun. My daughter loves it. It's, you know, it's bright, colorful, happy, sort of folky projects, and a lot of them are toys and stuff like that. And she just wants everything in the book. So I guess I'm going to have to make my kids some stuff, which, fair enough, I haven't made her anything in quite a while. But yeah, that is something that I'm really looking forward to getting into. Okay, on to show and tell. I'm afraid there is no show and tell. Psych. Sorry. I am in the process of preparing the spring trends in knitting, sort of fashion and knitting crossover thing that I have done I did it the first spring and then I did it in the fall and now I'm going to do it again. So whatever that is, biannually. I'm in the process of getting that together and it's kind of a big job. So that's taking a little more time than I thought it would, but look forward to that next week because I think it's one of my favorite things to do for the podcast and just for my sort of knitting, crafting self is look at the fashion trends that are currently out there and then look at what's available in knitting patterns and kind of match them up and see what can be done that is on trend and in the context of what's happening in the fashion world right now, because as much as sometimes it drives me crazy, I do love fashion. So I hope that you'll enjoy it and look for that next week. I also was hoping to talk about my Ashford Knitters loom a bit more than I have because I've got a stand for it now. But unfortunately, I haven't had time to play with it. So The stand is still sitting on my desk waiting to be attached to the loom, and it's going to be awesome once I get to it, and then I will tell you all about it. Okay? So, with that in mind, let's just move on to the obsessions. My first obsession for the week is a sad one. I am off caffeine, and it has been an obsession because I've had the worst headaches. Oh my gosh. You never realize how addicted you are to something until you try and not have it anymore. Yikes. Just my ongoing health fun times has necessitated an allergy elimination diet, which means I've had to really restrict what I eat, and it's really very irritating. And one of the things that I have had to take out is coffee and tea, just to see if that's what's messing with me. So I am uncaffeinated and cranky, but I found something that made me really happy. There is a brand called Tega, maybe? It's T-E-G-A. I'll link it. I don't know how widely they're available, but I found them at my local grocery store, and they do an Earl Grey rooibos tea. And for me, that is super duper exciting, because there was a time a couple years ago where I wasn't drinking coffee or tea, and I looked everywhere for an Earl Grey rooibos, because Earl Grey is like my happy flavor. It makes me so, like, it's such a comfort flavor for me, and not to have it was really sad, and I looked everywhere. I looked online. I could never find an Earl Grey rooibos tea, and I did just the other day at the grocery store, just by chance. I wasn't even really looking. So that was very exciting, and it's delicious. It's really great. It still has, like, I mean, you know, rooibos and black tea do taste different. They just do. They're not the same. But the bergamot, whatever it is, flavor really comes through, and it works really well with the rooibos flavor. It's just lovely. So if for whatever reason you've had to cut down on your caffeine, or even just at night you cut down on caffeine, but you love Earl Grey, have a look for this brand or for other Earl Grey rooibos, because I think it could be good regardless. Like, I don't think it's specifically that the brand's done such a great job. I think it's just a great flavor combination. My second obsession is a board game, which for me is kind of unusual because my husband loves board games, like, loves. And for me, not so much. Like, I mean, I enjoy the time spent with friends and I have fun, but if someone says, you know, do you want to play a video game or a board game, I'll play a video game. Partly because I think the time spent with friends, as much as I love it, tires my introverted self out and it's just too much for me sometimes. But Jacob got Roll for the Galaxy as a gift recently, and it's really, really fun. And I think it's the perfect introvert board game, because it's a dice-based game. You just roll your dice and assign them to things and then use them. But the way the turns work is, instead of you doing a turn while everyone watches you, and then the next person, there's a lot of sitting between things. Each turn runs at the same time, so everybody does their thing at the same time. It's almost like a non-interactive group board game. It's still competitive, it's still fun, there's still, you know, ample opportunity to enjoy the company of your fellow players, but it's very, you just do your own thing, and, you know, no interaction, very little interaction. So if you like board games, but you're a really strong introvert like myself, maybe check out Roll for the Galaxy, because it does reduce the stress of hanging out with other humans. And it's just a really fun, well-put-together game. And I really enjoy it. So I thought I'd tell you about it. My third obsession is I got some stitch markers in the mail. I had been using some stitch markers for years that I had bought off an Etsy seller, and I really didn't like them. And they're no longer a business, so it does me no good to name them. But they were the captive bead kind of looking stitch markers, the ring with a bead on them, that in the pictures they looked great, but it turned out the wire that they were made out of was way too flexible. And they were just bendy, the beads fell off, they fell apart, they were just not my favorite thing. So excuse me, sorry. I looked up other stitch marker makers recently and talked to some friends, and I happen to have some friends who are absolute stitch marker junkies, and one of their favorite companies is Fripperies and Bibelot, which is spelt like Bibelots, but it's Bibelot. And it is an Etsy seller based out of the UK who makes gorgeous stitch markers. Some of them are the captive bead style, but I got a couple of those, and they're very, very thick wire. They don't bend at all. They don't separate. They're really sturdy, and the beads are glued, so they don't move around. That was another problem I had with the ones I got. But the ones that are my real favorite, and the ones that I got most of, are her simple solid rings. And they don't have a seam in them to snag on anything. They're just these simple silver rings, but they're in a shape. Like, I got the raindrop or teardrop or whatever you want to call this shape ones. And I also got hearts in a bigger size. And they're very, very lightweight. They just sit on your knitting, and because they have different shapes to them, they can fit bigger or smaller needles quite comfortably. I really, really like them, and I really strongly recommend them. They're so lightweight, they're completely snagless, they're pretty, they're cute. Yeah, and they were quite reasonable. You know, I had to pay shipping to Canada from the UK, and that did add onto it significantly. I think the shipping was as much as the stitch markers. But if you happen to be on that side of the planet, it might be actually quite an economical source of quality stitch markers. And just really cute. And she's got loads of styles on her page. And I'm really impressed with them. And I'm excited to be using stitch markers that don't fall apart on me. Like, the old ones were so frustrating, because they would literally stretch open and then fall off my knitting. And a stitch marker that just completely abdicates its position and refuses to mark your stitches is not tremendously useful. So I'm just so excited to be moving forward into a world of useful, beautiful, lightweight stitch markers. So check them out. And that, my friends, is that. So go check out the Kickstarter for Fiberlicious Yarns and come back and comment in the giveaway thread on the Knitting Pretty podcast group because giveaway and because supporting an awesome new fiber shop. I'm really excited for them, and I really am excited for you guys to be able to take part in a giveaway. So go do that and have an awesome week, and I will see you next week, hopefully with finished things, maybe even a giant finished spinning project. I don't know. We'll see. Until then, have a wonderful time and happy knitting.